I'm delighted to be back with Paul Tonko today, one of my favorite people in the United States Congress, and I talk to an awful lot of them. He's a Democrat from New York's 20th district. And Paul Tonko, when we were talking last time, we talked a little bit about impeachment and the rest. So it raises a fascinating question to me. We saw Joe Crowley go down, AOC beat him in a primary. And that's because an awful lot of people in this country are so furious with Trump that they are willing to do what is not prudent. You have said, okay, we got to get the information first before we impeach him. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing from people on the phone every day, just impeach the bastard, get him, get rid of him.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I share some of that frustration that we're not dealing with facts, we're not embracing science, we reject science. I chair the subcommittee on environment and climate change. I see what that means to us just walking past an issue that is going to be very important to our economy, our environment, and our future. So I understand that, but I do believe that this issue, the whole threat to our democracy, you know, taking the fundamental cornerstone of our republic with the ability to vote, the right to vote, we need to drill down and get all the facts at our fingertips. Impeachment, absolutely, I think, would divide the country. So we need to do it in a way that follows the steps along the way that are made available to Congress. And I believe we're doing that. And I think working forward in a methodical, patient, thorough way, I believe is the best course to follow here.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your broadband bill,
right,
which has recently passed the House. What does it do, and what's the chances it'll survive in the other House?
Well, there's a number of concerns out there. A quarter of the population labeled rural is not getting service with broadband. The same is true with our students. Our schools, a quarter of them do not have someone, at least not being served or underserved. And because there are many, many agencies that deal with the investment, the allocation for resources that go to communities and schools, because there are so many, I believe we need to put together a more structured, more cohesive governance of broadband. We want to wrap our arms around this, understand how much has been invested, how much has been spent, where people are served, where they're not served, where they're underserved. Putting the agencies together, it sounds like a common sense thing that should just be followed by practice. But there are so many silos with this effort that our broadband bill will say, okay, we're going to inventory. We're going to understand who's underserved, who's unserved. Because today, this is an essential commodity. You know, we're talking about doctors being able to read x-rays. We're talking about students being able to do their homework, small businesses to be able to set up a cottage industry, seniors to have reliability on and security. I think that, you know, there are a number of reasons that we should go forward. And there are pockets within the congressional district, the 20th congressional district, that are in these categories of unserved and underserved.
But Paul, we know that, don't we? We certainly know that they're underserved and non-served people. Is this just another report on the shelf?
No. I think this is establishing a framework of how these agencies will work. They will develop a team strategy. They'll do this inventorying, and then they'll determine how next to best invest the dollars that we require. You know, I talked to people in Duanesburg, in the 20th Congressional District in Schenectady County. People are concerned because some who were looking to sell their home got a lesser value placed on it simply because they were in a pocket of unserved. And so it ripples out into many, many dimensions. And I think that that's wrong. It's fundamentally unfair. And we also have situations where, you know, you've got this determination that if one is served in a census tract, all are served. Well, I think that's a foolhardy way to measure service with broadband. I think that there needs to be a much more accurate assessment that reviews the process rather than just saying if one person in a census tract is served, we now assume they're all served. I know for a fact in the 20th Congressional District from, you know, very painful and deliberate conversations with folks. That is not the case. It's an inaccurate measurement of what's happening.
Okay, Paul Tonko. So let's assume you now find where people don't have it. It's unfair. It's not right. They can't sell their homes because of it. What do you want to do?
Well, I think this step of our bill is the very first important part to inventory, understand how much has it been invested, where it has been invested and not invested. And as we build an infrastructure bill, as we go forward with the efforts from the Democratic-led House of Representatives, Speaker Pelosi and the leaders in the House are very determined to express the caucus opinion that we want an infrastructure bill, and it can't end with roads and bridges. I believe it needs to look at essential services. If we're going to do this infrastructure bill, you know, we've talked about it for much too long. I think if we get this opportunity, let's do it and do it correctly. Let's do it in a way that's holistic and that will address the infrastructure that we require, from water to grid modernization to broadband to roads and bridges.
So what does the Senate do, the Republican Senate, now?
What do they do on infrastructure or do on...
On your bill.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, we'll go forward and have action taken in the Senate. The bill that we passed, that I authored, was co-sponsored by Representative Susan Brooks from Indiana, a Republican. So, you know, we're working the whole process to keep moving this measure along.
But that ain't Mitch McConnell.
No. And yes, he can be a difficult force, but I think, again, the public can drive this situation. And so much concern about who's controlling the United States Senate, and with more and more pressure building with the Mueller investigation, I think that they have to take care of those routine items of business, unfinished business that the general public is demanding get done.
So I got 2 minutes. I want to talk to you about the MAT Act addiction treatment bill that is yours. What is it?
It basically is an extension of service provision that we did last year, and it's a very important topic to our communities because it addresses treatment on demand for the addiction community. For those who are struggling with the illness of addiction, 1 in 5 gets treatment on demand when they have that moment of clarity.
Now, on demand means?
Well, when they have their moment of clarity, they need to know that there's a service provider.
Go into the hospital emergency room and you
medication-assisted treatment.
Right.
1 in 5. So that means 80%, 4 of 5 individuals are not getting that help. And it can be a life and death consequence, right? So what we did last year was develop a bill that provided for far greater access to treatment. And now this bill builds upon it in a way that removes some of the bureaucratic hoops through which you need to jump in order to provide the service. And it's a very important series of bills that we did because I think at the epicenter of this whole epidemic is a struggle to get treatment on demand. And I think that's very critical to the addiction illness.
It's always wonderful to talk to my friend, Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, sometimes known in the New York State Legislature and now in the Congress as Mr. Environment. When we come back the next time, I'm going to ask him about climate change.